So it's nice to be back again. Last week I was in Chutz La'aretz and I gave many shiurim. I think Sunday night I was in Toronto and I gave, I think, three shiurim Sunday night. And Baruch Hashem, it was a bigger Bitz Hashem, but it's always nice and pleasant to be home and to be in Eretz HaKodesh and to be back to our blessed routine of Har Bitz Hashem. The Shia tonight is dedicated to Ilui Nishmas Isha Chashuva Sora Bas Isabel. I think it's the mother of David Hall, our dear friend. And she should Shetanuch B'Sholom Al Meshkola, should be a Melech Tzitzis for the entire family. And we should always share B'Sodes Toivis. So the coming 2 weeks, to me, are very special 2 weeks. Tomorrow night, one of my grandsons is getting married in B'nai Barak. And if somebody happens to be in B'nai Barak tomorrow night, Almanot Friedman, I'll be happy to see him. Goes without saying. Next week, Sunday, I will have Sheva Bruches, but we will have the Shia nevertheless, because I'm not Mevatel. Well, tomorrow night, I'm not giving a Shia. But every other night, even though we have Sheva Bruches, I will be giving Shiurim. And next week, Thursday, another grandson is getting married. So, Baruch Hashem, we're going to be busy with Simchas, and we should always be busy with Simchas. And we should be able to rejoice together in Simchas Shel Torah and in family Simchas as well. So this week's Parsha is Parshas Vayakel. And Parshas Vayakel is a continuation of the Sugis of Mishkan Vekelav. And as I commented in the past, five Parshios, the entire second half of Chumash Shemois, is about Mishkan Vekelav. But in this week's Parsha, we find one of the most fundamental yesoides in Hilchas Shabbos, which is Dafka in Malachas HaMishkan. And it is so fundamental in Hilchas Shabbos that many people think that the context is Shabbos, but the context is Mishkan. Uvecharoishes Evin Lemalois, Uvecharoishes Eitz Lasot Bekol Malachas Machshoves. So the most important principle in Hilchas Shabbos is Malachas Machshoves. And in the past, I wrote about this and I gave shiurim about this. One of the biggest shiurim I gave in my life, one of the biggest, I can't remember which was the biggest, and I'm not speaking about speaking engagements, but a proper lomdish shiur was in Lakewood, and I gave a shiur in Lakewood. There were, I don't know, people guessed there were about 4,000, 5,000 yungalite at the shiur. And it was about Malachas Machshoves. And I said, from these two words, Malachas Machshoves, we learn 24 different halachas. 24 different halachas. And I went from one to the other. 14 lekula, 7 lechumra, 7 and 14 is only 21. Three sources that are neither kulas nor chumras, but actually defining what is a malacha. The most fundamental definition of a malacha b'Shabbos. We'll not go over that today. But today I will discuss one of the most relevant halachic principles today, which is the gather of grama b'Shabbos. Because we're living in a day and an age in which technology is becoming more and more intrusive. And it'll be impossible to escape technology. It is already today impossible, but with every passing day, we won't even be aware of different sensors we're activating, and someone out there is following us every step along the way. And in this country, it became obvious in the past few years, wherever there is a crime or a terror attack, in real time, 5 minutes later, everybody has the films. And so this entire country is actually covered with eyes and ears. And wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, whatever you say, you need to assume that someone is following you around. Big Brother is following you around. So this is, you say Big Father, not Big Brother. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always following us. What has changed in our generation that some others are trying to do so as well? So now Iriat Yerushalayim is changing most of the trash bins in the city. So many of these new trash installations, or whatever they're called, have a sensor. And to save money and manual labor, the lid of these trash cans have a sensor which sends a pulse, an electromagnetic pulse, every few seconds. And that pulse indicates when it comes back to the sensor, and we're dealing with milliseconds, how full the pack is. And the collectors will have an electronic system and a screen which pachim are full and need to be taken away. And that sensor will sense the heat to avoid fumes. It will sense heat. It will sense quantity, how full the pach is. So would that be a problem, throwing out your garbage on Shabbos? Well, throwing out your garbage on Shabbos might be a question of muktzah, but that's not our sugya today. In many cases, we are entitled to take out the trash on Shabbos, on the condition that you have a native, and we're not dealing with hilchas muktzah. But I'm just bringing this as an example of how technology is everywhere. So I think defining what is a groma, and when is groma an isser, when is it permissible, when is it prohibited, is one of the most relevant sugyas in Hilchas Shabbos, and not only in Hilchas Shabbos. So one of the principles in Hilchas Shabbos is Maleches Machsheves. Maleches Machsheves is written l'gabe HaMishkan, but we learn Hilchas Shabbos from Maleches HaMishkan. Dov Hashem is Chavan is Potter because it's not Maleches Machsheves. Maloch Hashem Sicholagufa is Potter because it's not Maleches Machsheves. Many fundamental Halachos and Shabbos are based on Maleches Machsheves. But sometimes, as I indicated before, Maleches Machsheves is not only an argument for leniency, sometimes it is an argument for chumrah. And this brings us to the fundamental sigya of Gram Malacha. So Shabbos Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, we learn Gram Kibui Mutar. And the case the Gemara deals with is a fire in one's home. So fire broke out. One of the Lamentas Malachas in Shabbos is Kibui. You cannot extinguish a fire. You cannot put out a fire. That is the Ad Malacha. So does a person have any solution if a fire breaks out in his home? The Gemara gives a primitive solution. So he is entitled to fill up vessels with water, fill them to the rim with mortar, and we're dealing with clay cheres, and put them around the fire, in a perimeter around the fire. So when the fire will rage and become bigger, and the heat will become greater, the temperature will rise, ultimately those vessels will break up, disintegrate, and the water will come rushing out, and the fire will be put out, and that is permissible because that is defined as Gram Kibui. I am not putting out the fire directly, but in an indirect fashion. All I'm doing is putting vessels, filling them up with water around the fire. So this is some kind of a chain reaction. So the fire becomes bigger and the temperature becomes higher, and then the vessels will break up and the water will come rushing out, and that is an indirect kibui. Gram kibui is mutar. Well, the person will have to ask himself, what does he prefer, having the room burned down or having the combination of fire and water and 100 broken kelim? So that is a question he will need to, add it all up, whether whether the solution is economically sound. But regarding melacha, Gram Kibui is mutar. And the Gemara explains, why is Gram Kibui mutar? Why would there be no prohibition to causing a melacha in an indirect way? Because the Torah says, Lo yisasa kol melacha. Asiya asra Torah ha grama sharia. So grama is not defined as asiya. Asiya is only when a person does something directly. But when we cause a melacha in an indirect fashion, like this example, that is not defined asiya, and therefore it's mutar. The Ramon Shin Lamed Daled, for some reason, paskins Shin Lamed Daled in Hilcha Shabbos that gram kibui is mutar only b'mukam hefsid. And the argument of the Ramo is based on the Mordechai. The Mordechai was one of the Rishonim, and the Mordechai says, "Well, the Gemara deals with the situation of hefsid. He's allowed to do this because otherwise the house will burn down. But if it's not a question of hefsid, if there's no monetary laws, then gram kibui would not be mutar." Goes without saying that if we're matar b'mokam hefsid, it can't be more than an issa d'rabbonim, because we could never be matar an issa d'oraisa mishum hefsid. So obviously gram kibui is an issa d'rabbonim. So according to the Mordechai and the Ramo Shila Medaled, it is only mitu b'mokam hefsid. There's another Ramo in Hilchas Yom Tov which says that gram kibui is mitu mishalom b'mokam hefsid, and the Mishnah Berurah and many other achronim say it's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos and issa koras, Issa Chomer, that is why we're machmir kishitas Mordechai, but Yom Tov is only alive. So regarding Kilchas Yom Tov, the Ramo is lenient, even Shelo b'mokem hefsid. And now we have a huge question, and that is Bava Kama daf Samach Omad Aleph. And Bava Kama naturally speaks about Dinei Nezikin, not Hilchas Shabbos. So the Gemara says regarding Nizke Eish, the first Mishnah in Masechet Bava Kama is Abba Oves Nezikin. Daf Samech Chazal deal with Eish, person put on fire. But if not the wind, the fire would not spread. The fire would just die away. But because of the wind caused the fire to spread, and ultimately the fire spread to other people's homes and territories, and he caused loss to other people. Does he bear responsibility or not? And the Gemara says, no, he's potter, because it's Grome ben Ezikin. Grome ben Ezikin is potter. If it would only be for his actions and his deeds, nobody would incur any loss. It's the wind. And so that is defined as Grome ben Ezikin, and Grome ben Ezikin potter. That is the Gemara of Kamed of Samach. And then the Gemara asks, Maishnu mezoyre v'haruach misayatoi. So one of the Lamates Malachas is Zoyre, not Zoreya, but Zoyre. I think Zoyre in English is winnowing. So in days of yore, the way to divide the Oichel from the Psoilis in the initial stage, after Ktsira comes Disha. What's Disha in English? I have no idea.
Threshing.
So how did they do Disha once upon a time? They had animals. Animals stomp on the tvur, wheat, grain. No, the grain are the kernels, I think.
The stalks.
And so the animals, with their hoofs and their weight, would break out the grain from the stalks, and then they winnowed. And winnowing is throwing. They took pitchforks and they threw it into the wind, and the wind blew away the lighter elements, and the kernels, which were heavier, just dropped down. So it was the interaction between the wind and gravitation which caused the separation of Oichel and Psoilis, and that is defined as a malacha. So the Gemara asks, what is the difference between Zora v'haruach mesayesoi and libo v'libso ruach? So why regarding Din and Ezekin we say, it's the wind, it's not me. I'm just a geirim, and therefore Gromim ben Ezekin potter. So why don't we say the same regarding Shabbos? It's the wind. If there would be no wind, then everything would fall back, right down back to the floor, and there would be no separation between Oichel and Psoilis. So why regarding Shabbos is chayiv? And the Gemara offers three different terutzim. Rav Ashi says, Shani Shabbos, the Maleches Machsheves Asra Toiro. So in this sugya, Maleches Machsheves causes a chumra and not a kula. And the Gemara means to say, Rashi says, Maleches Machsheves Asra Toiro, v'harei nasis machshav toi. So what is Maleches Machsheves? So many achroinim understand Maleches Machsheves is Maloshon Machshava. No. Maleches Machsheves is Maleches Umnis, and that is Onkelos. And Onkelos is the very first. translator, and not only a translator, but an interpreter and a commentator of Chumash. And the Loshem of Onkelos Uz, Lamebat Bekol Ividat Umanvan. Umanvan, which means Maleches Umnes, the work of a craftsman. So a craftsman does work in a proper way. Dovar HaMeschaven, Tzicha LeGufa, Metaken Velo Mekalkel. But one of the characteristics of a craftsman is, man became aware very early that he is not one of the most powerful creatures in the world. He was blessed with a mind like no other in creation, but his muscles aren't that great. And man took advantage of natural energies going very many years back. Who was the first discoverer? Who was the first to take advantage of natural energy? Adam HaRishon, the very first day he lived. Moitzi Shabbos. The Gemara says it was dark and he was worried and it was cold. He took two rocks and banged them together and discovered fire. Hotzi Nitzotz. So the very first human being was the first discoverer, and he discovered energy. And from Adam HaRishon on, man always utilized natural forces, running water. So mills were usually built on rivers, and that is why in Hilchas Pesach there are so many shilas about the rivers in Europe. They were saturated with grain and with chametz because all the mills were built on rivers. And even today, people build dams to produce electricity, and we take advantage of huge waterfalls to turn the turbines and to produce electricity. So man took advantage of wind, and today, in many countries, some in Israel, but not many, but in Holland and in many other European countries, you have these huge windmills to produce electricity. So man took advantage of running water, the blowing wind, fire, and these were all sources of energy. So ruach, person takes advantage of the wind. Regarding Ezekiel, he's Groma ben Ezekiel is Potter. So why Shabbos is Yechayiv? Maleches Machsheves Aseh Torah. And this is one of the few sources in which Maleches Machsheves incurs a chiyuv and not a ptur. Because, yes, it is one of the things that characterizes the genius of man and the work of a craftsman taking advantage of natural energy. And that is why Shabbos is Yechayiv. But it's a groma. So these two sugyas l'chayre contradict one another. Going back to Shabbos Dav Kufchov, he puts kalem around the fire. So he is taking advantage of fire, which produces heat. And that's a natural energy. So what is the difference between wind or fire? This is a groma, that's a groma. So why is he chayim in Bava Kama Dav Samach, Zod of Aruch Mesayetoy, and he's not chayim in Shabbos Dav Kufchov? Three different drachim. Number one is first in chronological order, and that is the Shilte Geboirim. Shilte Geboirim in Masechet Shabbos Kuf Chof. Shilte Geboirim takes us back almost 500 years, and he says, Bava Kama Dav Samach, the person has kavona. This is the result he wants to achieve, and there's no other reason why he throws that tarivis into the air, into the wind, only because he wants to divide and separate Eichel from Pseudus. And therefore it's Maleches Machsheves. And it's Chayiv. It's not only Yosem Darbonon, it's Anissa Diuraisi, it's Chayiv because it's Maleches Machsheves. But in Shabbos of Kufchov, he has no intention to put out the fire. He just wants to prevent the spreading of fire, which is very unreasonable. Because the only way to prevent the fire from spreading is putting it out. There's no other way about it. If those vessels will break up and they won't extinguish the fire, then ultimately the fire might spread. And he wants to put the fire out. That's his intention. So it's very difficult to accept the pshat of the Shilte Geboirim. He doesn't want to put out the fire just to prevent the fires from further spreading. Suggestion number two is Tshuva's Zera Emes, one of the great Sfarnish of Poiskim and Gedolim 200 years ago. Zera Emes Simen Mem Dalet, quoted and agreed to by the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkes, who at a later generation was one of the great Gedolim in Galicia going back 130 years. Beis Yitzchak Orachaim Simen Nun Zayin, Zera Emes Chelakala Simen Mem Dalet. And their approach is this. What defines Maleches Machsheves and what causes a grommet to be a Malocha Deoraisa is immediacy. If the result is in real time, the person throws the Tereves into the wind and the result is immediate. The wind separates Oichel from Sodas. That's Maleches Machsheves. Regarding putting out the fire, it's a process. It's a process that must come into fruition. He puts the vessels around the fire. It takes time. And he is not actively engaged when the result comes to be. So when the malacha comes to be, he is no longer engaged and involved. That is a grama, and that is mutar. That is the approach of the Zeremes. And there's a degree of logic. But what is more important than the conviction is we need to reconcile these two sugyas, which seem to contradict each other. So the Zeremes is machalek between Zera Baruch and Messiah, so in which the result is immediate, and therefore Zemit Yeches La'adam. It is as if the wind is a tool he is using, and therefore it is his ma'isa and his chayiv. Masha'en came, putting those vessels around the fire. It's a process which will take time, and therefore that is defined as grova. That is approach number two. Approach number three is the achiezer. Chel gimel simesamach. And the achiezer has a different approach, and he says, Maleches machsheves is only when a malach is performed in a reasonable, accepted, an efficient fashion. Zoyra varuach mesayesoy, that is the only way to perform Zoyra. Whether it's Shabbos or a weekday, that is maleches azoyra. And therefore, even though he is taking advantage of a natural force, it is still defined as maleches mosheves and ischayev. But in the middle of the week, you want to put out a fire, you take a bucket of water and pour it on the fire. This is not a sensible way to destroy all the kalim you have in your house and let a half a house burn down and then hope that the water will flow in the right direction and it'll be enough to put out the fire. So this is a crazy way to put out a fire. But in Shabbos, we have no other way. That cannot be defined as Maleches Machsheves. And this achiezer makes a lot of sense according to the basic definition I explained before. What is Maleches Machsheves? It is Malechet Uman. Maleches Umnes. So this is not Maleches Umnes. Maleches Umnes is a malacha that is performed in the most efficient and reasonable and economical way. And therefore, that is the difference between these two sugyas. And this difference manifests itself in many, many shailes halacha lamaisa. So there were two organizations and institutions who invested years and big resources in developing all kind of grommet gadgets. And they had good intentions. In the past year, both the fathers of these institutions both passed away. Reb Levi Yitzchak Halpern from the Machon Madai Technologia and Reb Yisrael Rosen from Machon Summit. And these two institutions, each of them had their own approach, developing all types of gadgets, grommet gadgets, not chalila in any way violating Shabbos. They both were geared to pikuach nefesh situations, and we do recommend the use of these various different ideas in hospitals, in the army, in the police, organizations that are basically dealing with pikuach nefesh, but it is still extremely difficult and maybe even impossible to always clearly define the parameters and what would be defined as pikuach nefesh, because not everything that happens in a hospital is pikuach nefesh, but hospitals basically deal with pikuach nefesh, and therefore we do implement many of these grum ideas in hospitals. But in my humble opinion, as I made clear in my sforim, none of these gadgets help us steer clear from sveike diuraisa. So in some of these ideas and gadgets and machines, there is a manganon hashaya, which delays the result, the malacha, from the actual act that the person does, based on the opinion of the Zera Emes. The Zera Emes says, if there is a delay between what the person does and the result, that would not be defined as Maleches Mosheves. A week ago, I visited the oncology department in Shari Tzedek, and I sat with the entire staff of nurses, and they asked me to come and, you know, deal with their halachic problems and halachic issues. I usually don't visit, you know, the hospital to meet nurses, and, you know, I prefer they come to me. But I wanted to go back to the oncology department and thank those wonderful people for the care they gave my wife when she was in the department. So I was back there, and it was very moving, and I dealt with many halachic issues. So they asked me regarding the chadrei bidud, isolation rooms. Yeah. So in a cancer ward, sometimes patients need bidud. Patients whose immune system is compromised, and they might be very prone to infection, so we keep them in isolation. And in the chadrei bidud, there's a double door. So Shabbos, we use a manganon hashaya, you know, grama. And the nurses were concerned, takes so long. And I said, I think it takes 30 seconds. And they said, no, we think it's 2 minutes. And I was shocked by the result. So I said, why don't we just walk over to that room and put on the grama system and check how long it takes? Dr. Segal, do you know how long it takes? 5 seconds. I thought it's 30 seconds, and they argued it's 2 minutes. Obviously, 5 seconds sometimes is a very, very long time. So when you come to the bank, 5 seconds to wait in tor is very reasonable. But we're in a nurse, and you're really overworked and overburdened. And especially when you get a call from within the room, 5 seconds is eternity. 5 seconds is enough for a person to die. So, just my Indian Indian Boise Union, and I said, if you get a call from within that room and you don't know what it is, you put off the grama system and you just rush right in. But if you're doing your rounds, then 5 seconds, if you're not really overburdened, 5 seconds is not that much. 5 seconds is what it takes you to say Boker Tov, or how are you doing? So I just want to bring this as an example that time is relative, you know. So they asked me, do we really need to use that grama system walking into the room? I said, I think it's only 30 seconds. And they said, no, 2 minutes. And when we checked, it was 5 seconds. Sometimes 5 seconds seems to be a lot of time. So when I was sitting with these organizations and they devised a grama keyboard for a computer, and the delay was 2 seconds, the doctors we showed it to said, no one will use it. Nobody is going to use it. You might as well throw it away. Because when a person uses a computer, 2 seconds to see on the monitor what he, no, is eternity. Nobody will use a keyboard that takes 2 seconds between, you know, using your fingers and seeing, you know, what you wrote. So, in my opinion, this artificial delay in any electronic or electrical device is totally irrelevant, and it's not a grama. I think the Zera Emes speaks with something far more fundamental. It's not only a technical delay. So you program the system to have a built-in delay. That is irrelevant. In my opinion, that does not make it a grammar. The ZMS differentiates between something that is real. So when you winnow, kishata usem alechet azoira, and you take advantage of the wind, and the result is immediate, that is defined as masa ha'odom. Because that is what people always did, taking advantage of natural energy. But if the result is immediate, that is defined as masa ha'odom. When you put vessels around a fire, many things need to happen. Some of them might happen, might not happen. That is defined as a grama. Because it really is things that need to develop and happen. So if it's a built-in electrical system, but you just use the computer to delay the result with 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 5 seconds, that is irrelevant in my opinion, and that does not turn it into a grama. So according to the Chiezer, it all depends. Is it reasonable? Is it proper? Is it efficient? So all these systems are quite efficient and quite reasonable. We use the ultimate technology in these systems. So according to Achiezer, we don't have a solution. According to the ZMS, it's also a questionable solution. And according to the Shilta Gebodim, if you have intention, then there is no solution. So why do I recommend in Shaare Tzedek and in other organizations using this grama? Because it's either the grama device or nothing. Because, you know, basically we're dealing with pikuach nefesh. And if it's impossible to run a hospital or an army or a police force, and needing in so many different things to decide, do we, don't we, and therefore, yes, we have no other better options, and that's why we do implement these grama devices. Maybe according to some shittas they work, but in my opinion, it is only when we're dealing with Safir Pikuach Nefesh, because when we try to reconcile these two sugyas, and we have three different suggestions, so they are all very problematic. But for another reason, I think, yesh mokum lahakam. And this brings me to a question which you hear from me quite often, but I don't think anybody hears this from anyone else. And I think when we have a kasha that we find in the Achroinim, and it's an obvious kasha, and none of the Rishonim asked this question, we need to ask ourselves, why weren't all the Rishonim bothered by this fundamental question? And we can't come up with terutzim, because that still won't answer the question. So why didn't anyone ask? The fact that you have an answer, why didn't you ask the question and offer an answer? If they didn't ask a question, they weren't bothered by this question. So obviously, they felt that it is no question. So this is an obvious stira between two sugyas meforoshos. Gram kibui mutar, Shabbos kuf chof, malachas machshav esasa toira. Libo velibse ruach potter, because it's groma ben azikin, and the Gemara asks, zoyra varuach masai ser chayiv, malachas machshav esasa toira. So it's an obvious stira. And that is the undertaking of the Balei Toisvus and the entire Shas. Almost every Toisvus in Shas. What is Toisvus all about? Stira from one sugya to the other, from one masach to the other. So where were all the Balei Toisvus and the Ramban and the Rashi and the Ritva and the Ran and the Rosh and all the other great Rishonim? Well, they all forgot the Gemara and Bava Kama and Dav Samech. None of them was aware of this contradiction. So obviously they weren't bothered, they weren't troubled. So the three terutzim that we offered, Shilta Gebodim, Zera Emes, Achiezer, are not relevant, because they are terutzim. So why didn't they ask the question? Why didn't the Rishonim ask this question and offer those same terutzim? Obviously, we must develop an understanding why it's not a shaila. And this brings us to the Rosh on the spot. Bava Kama, Perek Vav, Simen, Yud Aleph. That very Sigyam Bava Kama Dav Samach. So the Rosh has a totally different approach. And the Rosh says, when the Gemara answers, Rav Ashi answers, Malachas Machshev Esasra Toira, It's not a fundamental rule. It has nothing to do with the dinam of grama. The Rosh explains that is maleches hazoreh. And there's no other way to do it. It's not that it's not defined as a grama. It is a grama. But the Torah asserted grama. In this specific malocha, the Torah asserted grama. And it's like mevashel. Could a person cook or bake with his hands? No such a thing. In mevashel, you always start a process. That is the way to cook or bake. You don't produce the end product with your hands or your koyach. Every melech is mevashel. Hidbik pas betana. Hiniach kedero al gabe uesh. And it's the fire ultimately and the heat which bring the end result. So every mevashel is a groma. Yes, yes. But that is mevashel. And that is exactly what the Torah answered. And that is the explanation of the Rosh when the Gemara says, Maleches Masheves Asro Torah. Meaning that the Torah answered Shabbos, those Lamedes Melochas that were essential in the erection of the Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, they needed to do Zoyra. And therefore, Bohochi Chai Ve'Rachmona. So according to the interpretation of the Rosh, Zoyra is like Mevashel. Yes, Zoyra is an exception. All the other Melochas, Asiyas L'Torah Grom Esharia. Zoyra is an exception, just like Mevashel is an exception. Would Zoreya be an exception? That is a big machloikas in Achoinim. And some Achoinim did not differentiate between Zoreya and Mevashel. But in Minchas Osha Masechet Shabbos, I don't remember which simon. I never remember simonim in Minchas Osha. But in Minchas Osha Shabbos, I wrote a lengthy essay, a lengthy simon, and I explained, Zoreya has nothing to do with Mevashel. Zoreya is never about the result. How could one know? How could one know? So when Adam testified, a person was Zoreya in Shabbos, do they have to wait a week or 2 weeks and see whether that seed will blossom, will come out of the ground? Malecha Zoreya is planting seeds. Whether those seeds will develop or not is not relevant. Planting seeds, that's Zoreya. But by Mevashel, it's a Gemara Meforeshes. Hidbek Pas Betana, Retila Lo Rodois or not. Mevashel is about the result. Mevashel is not over when you put the pot on the stove. No. It is only if at the end of the day you cooked and you got the product and you got the result. So if a person puts a pot on the stove 10 seconds before Tzeisek Echov and Moitzi Shabbos, and by the time it's cooked, it's Moitzi Shabbos, he's not chayv of anything. Might be an Issa de Rabbonon, but not an Issa de Uraisa. Zoreya is chayv. But Zoyra, similar to Mevashel. That is the interpretation of the Rosh. So in my opinion, the reason Tosfos, Ramban, Rashba, Ritva didn't ask this question, because their understanding was like the Rosh. And according to the Rosh, there is no stira. Because according to the Rosh, Pshat and Bava Kamed of Samach is not a Yesoid in Grama. It's not a general rule. It's not a Chiddush in the entire spectrum of Grama by Lamed as Malachas. It is confined to Meleches Zaira, Vitulo, nothing beyond that. According to the Rosh, when the Gemara says Meleches Mosheves HaShatora, all the Gemara means to say is, Zaira was in the Mishkan, and therefore it's Shabbos as well. Because we learn Shabbos from the Mishkan. Zaira was in the Mishkan, Bahoch Echai V'Rachmona. And therefore it's an exception, just like Mevashel is an exception. So according to the Rosh, there's no kasha. And if there's no kasha, there's no need for terutzim. So that would be a source of leniency using various grama devices. Because at the end of the day, grama is a scientific definition. Do I do something directly or indirectly? So the huge problem with grama is according to Rashi. Rashi's interpretation of Bava Kamed of Samach is, Zoyra is actually a grama. Kivan shenases machshavtoi gam agrom chayev. So that causes a problem with Shabbos Kufchov, but gam kibui. But according to the understanding of the Rosh, Bava Kama is not a new yesoid in Groma. Groma is always potter. And Groma is potter whether he has intention, whether he doesn't have intention. Whether it's a reasonable fashion or not. Whether it's immediate or delayed. There's no kasha. Kushimi koralesa. All the Gemara means in Bava Kama is Zaira is an exception. Like Mevashel is an exception. But regarding all the other malachas, every groma is mutar. And no groma will ever be an issa d'urais. We don't know what the halacha is, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't go into these resolutions. We do find gram kibui mutar. Zaira is not in the Shulchan Aruch because it's in the Mishnah. So we don't know. Rosh or Rashi, which is accepting ruling. My argument is, the fact that none of the Rishonim asked the Kasha, asked this question, proves that the Rosh is the more prevalent opinion, because that is the only explanation to me. So why doesn't anyone ask this Kasha? Why was it left to the last 300 years? And where were all the great Rishonim? And none of them asked this deal. So that would prove that. So Rashi, on the other hand, is not a palpalan. Rashi doesn't ask stiras. So Rashi, according to Rashi, we have a stira, and we need all these terutzim. And we can't ask, so why doesn't Rashi ask the stira? Rashi, that's not Rashi's style. Rashi is a parsha. But Tosfos, that's Tosfos' duty. That's Tosfos' style. That is what Tosfos does in the entire Shas. And following the footsteps of Tosfos, the Ramban and the Rashbo, and the Ritva and the Ram, and even the Rosh. So that would prove a point. And obviously this same machloikis is a machloikis between the Mogen Avraham and the Even Ho'ayizah. Mogen Avraham Reish Nun Beis. And this brings us back to a comment I made at the beginning of this year. Man, from days of yore, looking for sources of energy that are far greater than his own. So, utilizing running water. So, the Mugen Avraham Reish Nun Beis deals with the Rechayim Shel Mayim. There's a hand grinder, and there's a mill built on a river. So, the Mugen Avraham says, a person that is Toichein B'Rechayim Shel Mayim is Potter, because it's a groma. It's a groma. That's what the Mogen Avraham says. The Even HaOizer, Shin Chof Ches, not in Reish Nun Beis, quotes the Mogen Avraham in Reish Nun Beis, and the Even HaOizer says, the Mogen Avraham foresaw, or he forgot the Gemara Bava Kamet of Samach. Bava Kamet of Samach, Zodah Baruch Messiah Serchayim, Malach Meshev Zazat Torah. Here also, he has intention. He has intention to grind. And that is why he put the grain into the system. He wanted to get wheat. So he's chayev kamo zayra. Chasam soifer. Hagos sam soifer in Shulchan Aruch. Sam soifer says, Even HaOizer made a mistake. The Gemara Bava Kama deals only with zayra, because that's the nature of zayra. And I'm amazed that the Even HaOizer and the Chasam soifer, none of them quotes Rashi and the Rosh. And they obviously weren't aware that their machlokes is the machlokes between Rashi and the Rosh on the spot in Bava Kama. So the Mogen Avraham obviously learns Grama is potur in any event and in any case. Even HaOizer says no. When this is intentional, Grama is chayev. And the Even HaOizer argues, what's the difference between utilizing wind and utilizing running water? Both are natural sources of energy. And just like the Gemara says, Azor Baruch Messiah Soy Chayiv, the same, if you use a Rechayim Shalmayim, a water mill, and you're utilizing the force, the energy of running water, would be just like Zor Baruch Messiah, so you should be Chayiv. Malach Moshe Zazatayra. Chasam Sofer says, how could you compare other Maluchas to Zayra? This is the way Zayra is done. There's no other way. So how could you compare other malachas? So the Chasam Sofer is right according to the Rosh. Evan Oizer is right according to Rashi. But for some reason they weren't aware that their argument is actually the Machlokes Rashi and the Rosh. So usually we paskin in accordance to the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham is lenient. So one might argue, well, it depends. Are the pipes empty or full? So if he pours his grain right onto the grinding stones, then that would be immediate. That would be like Zayda Baruch Messiah, according to the Zayda Emes. But if the pipes are full, and it'll take a half hour for his grain to get to the grinding stones, then that would be like putting the vessels around the fire. According to the Achiezer, this is the normal fashion. This is the same machine, the same mill we use all week round. It's not some abnormal way to do things. So this machlokes, this controversy between Magen Avraham, Evan Oizer, Chasam Sofer, is also dependent on the different interpretations in the way we reconcile these two sugyas. According to the Zayda Emes, it would depend. Is there a delay or there is no delay? According to Achiezer, it definitely would be chayiv. So, this is just a brief overview of the complexity of the sugya of Gram Malacha in Shabbos. Starting off with the basic source, Asiyos Ratoyer Grom Esharia, in Shabbos Dav Kufchov, and the conflicting Gemara Bava Kama Dav Samech, Rashi and the Rosh, two fundamentally different approaches. My feeling that Rav Rishonim have the understanding of the Rosh, even though nobody says it, but the fact that they don't ask this question should demand an explanation. Why don't they ask this question? According to the Rosh, there is no question. According to Rashi, we need answers, and you can't give answers if you don't ask a question. So according to Rashi, we have three different approaches. Shilta Gebodim, Zera Emes, Achiezer, and the Negei LaHalocha. There's a Nafka Minas LaHalocha. So this is part of what I wrote at great length in different sources in my Svarim, you know, in Minchas Shoshan Shabbos, and in various different Shuvas that I wrote in later years, and Michas Oshan HaToyim, Pashas V'Yakel, and there are many more sources dealing with the concepts of grammar, and the relevance of these questions are huge, because in the modern world, so many things we do are grammars. You know, going back to using hot water on Shabbos. So in the very first edition of Shemir Shabbos Kechosa, going back about 60 years, Reb Shem Zalman was matter. Using hot water from a Dud Shemesh. And his basic approach was, it's a grama, because you're opening the tap down here, and you're causing cold water to get into the tank that's on the roof, and that is far away, and that is not Koyach Rishoin. So what would be a grama, according to most Rishoinim, grama is mutar, but mukam hefzid, according to the Ramah, it's mutar. Now, it is noteworthy that Ramah says, and that's the opinion of the Mordechai, Grom is mutu b'mukam hefzed. But the Lashon of the Ramah doesn't speak about hefzed merubah. Any hefzed. Hefzed equals tzar, equals torach. So sometimes washing your face or rinsing a child with cold water is tzar. So Reb Shmuel Zalman maintain that it's a grama. Grama b'mukam tzorech, like b'mukam hefzed, the vast majority of Shoinim are matir even shalom b'mukam hefzed. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't stipulate it needs to be b'mukam hefzed, it's only the Ramah. But then others argue that it's maybe not a grama, but that is the very first discussion in Hilchos Shabbos regarding grama. But with the advance of technology and electronics, these questions became far more relevant. How exactly we define grama, and when is grama permissible, when is grama prohibited. So this shiur is not designated. It's not about paskening shaila halacha lemaisa, but rather about simchas haTorah and sheshuas haTorah. But I thought it would be very interesting just to understand the fundamentals of this sugya regarding grama by Shabbos. So in this week's parasha, we once again cover many clay migdosh and the way they were built and made. Vayaska poirazov toyer amasayim v'chetzi yorkov mecha'am v'chetzi rochbo v'yashnei kruvim zohov miksha osu oysa mishnei k'tzois hakapoiris. Kruv echad mekotze mizeh v'kruv echad mekotze mizeh min hakapoiris osas akruv mishnei k'tzoisov v'yihi yu akruvim porsei knufayim l'malo soichichim b'knafayim al hakapoiris ufnei mishalocha v'l hakapoiris hoyu pnei hakruvim. So of all the Klei HaMikdash, the most peculiar and the most fascinating were the Kruvim, for many reasons. First of all, they were in Kodesh HaKodeshim. Secondly, it's a bit baffling. They had faces, and they were similar to statues, and the Torah asses making a Pesel. And the only Psolim that had human faces in the Beis HaMikdash were the Kruvim, which is somewhat of a shock or a surprise. And the third fascinating aspect about the Kruvim, they were dynamic and they were interactive. And the Gemara in Bava Basra asks, there's an internal contradiction in this posek, Pneyem ish el ochiv, el hakapoiris hoyu pnei hakruvim. So did they face each other, or did they turn outward to the Kapodis? So, the Gemara says, "Bezman sheyisol lo yisnei tzoyin shemokim pnei mishalochiv, ubezman she'ein yisol oisin tzoyin shemokim pnei melabayis." So the Kruvim weren't static; they changed. And the Gemara in Yuma says, "Kishenechnasu oivim leheichel," they found the Kruvim hugging and embracing each other, and that was something which happened only once in the history of the Beis HaMikdash, and that was b'shas haChorban. So, what message do the Kruvim convey? Pnei tinoik v'tinoikis, they had the faces of children, and they had wings. So there were two characteristics. Porisim knufayim elamalo, and the wings were to above. So I have a shmus about Birchas Koyanim. And we find the same duality by Birchas Koyanim. The Kohenim need to turn around the Pneim El Ha'am. They need to face the people. And they lift their hands. And that is Nesias Kapayim. And what I wrote was, Libi Yoimali. Serchachim B'Knafayim L'Malo. And the same with the Kohenim lift their hands. That indicates the Kesher Bein Odom L'Mokoyim. Based on the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah Lamed Hei. V'hoyo ka'asher yorim Moshe es yodoi v'gova Yisrael u'ka'asher yaniach Moshe es yodoi v'gova Amolek. And the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Hei asks, v'chi yodov shel Moshe oisei smalchomo o shoiv roi smalchomo. Elo. Bizman sheyorim Moshe es yodov Yisrael mishabdim libo el aviyem shebeshamayim. When the people saw Moshe Rabbeinu lift his arms, hoyu mishabdim libo el aviyem shebeshamayim. So when the Kohenim lift their hands, that's an indication to the people, look up, da mala mala memcho. And the same is the remez of the Kruvim, soichichim b'knofayim lamala. And then the Kohenim need to see the people. And that indicates, Ben Odom L'Chaveiroi, the same with the Kruvim, Pneyen ish el achiv. And that is the shleimus of another mi Yisrael. And I had a similar idea regarding the Kohen Gadol. On his chest he had the Avnei Achoshen. The Avnei Achoshen indicating the 12 tribes, Yud Beis Shevotim. But he also had them on his shoulders, Melamala. So on one hand, people stand facing one another. You see what's on his chest. But only HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what you have on top. Because the Kohen Gadol was at the same time Shoshvina de Malka and Shoshvina de Matranusa. He was our agent and representative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was his duty to daven for us and to atone for our avedus and avodas Yom Kippurim and HaKlavos Karbonos. But the Kohen Gadol is also the teacher of Torah. Kisif se Kohen Yishmer Adas v'Torah Yevakshu Mepihu. And he was the ultimate teacher. So he was a Kodesh Baruch Hu Shliach to the people, and the Shliach of the people to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And that is the duality of the Avnei HaChoshen on the Choshen, and the Avnei HaChoshen that he carries for HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Avnei Zekoren, from us to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and Avnei Zekoren from HaKodesh Baruch Hu to the people. And that is what we find by Nesias Kapayim, when the Kohanim come to bestow upon the people Berachas Hashem, the blessings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the remez of the Kruvim, the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So what did we have in Kodesh HaKodeshim? The Luchos and the Kruvim, and that's it. The Luchos and the Kruvim. And the same message we find in the Luchos. The Ramban and Parsha Yisrael says, why were there two Luchos? Couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu write a set of Sadibris on one Luach? Why did there need to be two? So the Ramban says, number one is Mitzvah Sheben Adam Lamokim. Onoichi Hashem Elokecho. Lo yi alachu alehim acherim. Lo yitas alachu pesa kol kemuna. Zoch alas yom eshabes lekadshoi. The second Luach is Ben Adam Lachavero. Lo tirtzach ve lo tigno ve lo tayid bereyach ho eit shokar. Ve lo yisach men eishes reyacho ve beis reyacho. Rashi in Parsha Zekev says that Luchos nichtav choso. There's no vav there. And it comes to indicate, and I think the sources are Sifri, that both Luchos were entirely similar. Similar in texture, in weight, in size. According to the Ramban, why is that important? It comes to indicate that Luach number 2 and Luach number 1 have the same importance and the same significance. And the shleimus of a Jew, of an Odom Yisrael, is only with a combination, Ben Odom Lomokim and Ben Odom Lachaveroi. Some of us are extremely frum in Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Tvila, but not so frum in Midrash Ben Odom Lachaveroi. And for the sake of fairness, we must say, some have it the other way around. Some people are wonderful people, beautiful people, very compassionate and very caring, but they lack Yiras Shamayim. And both are far from achieving greatness. And a good Jew is a combination of Ben Adam Lamokim and Ben Adam Lachaveiroi. As other the two Zluchos, same size, same weight, same importance, same significance. So many times, it goes better in English than in Loshon Kodesh. And I say the Shleimus of a Yid is a combination of passion and compassion. Passion ben Odom Lamakoyim and compassion ben Odom Lachaveroi. And that is the shleimus of Odom Yisrael. Luach number 1 and Luach number 2. And that is indicated by the Kruvim. Soichichim knefayim lamala. Kamo Yodav shel Moshe. Bizman she Yoram Moshe Yodav. Oye b'nei Yisrael mishadu limo melaviyem she b'shamayim. Upneyem yishalochim. Like the Koyanim. They cannot bestow the Berachas Hashem on the people only if they care about the people. And that is why the Zohar says, Kol koyen de le rochim la amei, o ama lo rachmin le, lo yisu eskapov. And I think it's fascinating. What bracha do the Koyanim say? Levorachas amei sol ba'ahavo. This is a formula we do not find by any other Berachas HaMitzvah. Do we say, Ashikadeshono b'mitzoyse v'tzivonu lechol matzo k'derech achila? or lekvoya mezuzah b'shlishu elyon. You never go into details. In a brocha, you mention only the very basic essence of the mitzvah. So why in Berachas Kohanim we say l'vorach esam yisor be'ahava? That is the essence of the mitzvah. And if that is lacking, these brochas are void. They're empty brochas. And they do not fulfill their goal. So l'vorach esam yisor be'ahava is not a detail. It's not one of the details. It is the essence of Berachas Kohanim. And that is pneyem ishel ochiv. Pneyem klapei ha'am. So the Kruvman Kodesh HaKodeshim are similar to the Koyanim, Bar Birchas Koyanim. And that is what the Kodesh HaKodeshim is all about. That is the message the Luchos convey, and that is the message the Kruvim convey. The Shleimus, Ben Odom L'Mokim, and Ben Odom L'Chavei. Rabbi Yerotzen Shiach Elkeinu Emoim. We should always be Zoychel Asas Ratzoyin Avinu Shavishamayim. We should always share Simchas. ושנזכה לעשות רצון אבינו שבשמיים באהבה לעבור חסר מייסור באהבה ושל זכר בקורא ביומנו תו ישוע סלום ומביע סגויל צדק במהירו ביומנו אמן.
Randomness in time delay help at all drums. The drums don't have it immediate. They don't know when.
What?
It takes away from the
fake. Nothing is definitive.
That's ready.
See you.